guy from YouTube with that arms and legs. It's going to be a lot of fun. Guys, I can't wait to see you. I'll see you on Friday, January 31st.
Amen. You know, and as you would think of a life built without limbs, the challenge, or without that, the challenges that were before that man, I cannot comprehend. And yet how God has richly blessed him in life and used him mightily. This particular psalm that we're going to be looking at this week really talks about building our life. It is about that personal relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. That is the window of faith that I would really love to focus on today. It is a personal favorite of mine. I will admit that. It is a psalm that God used in my own life during a very dark period of my own life. And I just can't thank him enough for that psalm. On Tuesday, you know, last year we were really packed on Tuesday, the first service. And so I'm just going to share with you just a couple of thoughts. You know, if you're normally serving here and worshiping here, you know, just come on in, sit up closer to the front, sit in the middle. That way when people come in later, that they have places to sit with their whole family in the back or on the edges. You know, just make it easier for the ushers to be able to do that. We had about 160 last year in the first service, and I don't know if we'll hit that again this year. We didn't do the flyers and the posters and all those kinds of things like we did. We're leaving it totally to you, word of mouth, to invite people and to be a part of it. But we want to share the love of Christ in a very, very personal way and to reveal windows of faith and the reality that we can have this dynamic personal relationship with the Creator of the universe. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we just rejoice in the wonder of your love. We ask your hand of blessing upon these few moments as we look into your word, and that you would be pleased to just surround us with your spirit and dwell us with your spirit. Fill us to overflowing, and might your word truly fall on fertile soil in our hearts and lives. Oh, Lord, I just pray for growth. My own personal walk with you becomes more steadfast, more deeply rooted in all that you are, to withstand the chaos of the darkness around me, my family, that you have so richly blessed us with. Lord, we just ask that you would guide and direct in these moments, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. My wife would probably shoot me if I did not announce that Diane and I are now great-grandparents. our great-grandson was born on Wednesday of last week, 7 pounds, 19 and a half ounces. His name is Fletcher, and he resides in Hawaii. So I'll be gone January, February, March. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah, and mom and son are doing well, and they're all home and doing great. My daughter and son-in-law are headed out in a couple of weeks to be there with them and to spoil the grandbaby for them as well. But you know, this psalm, and I'm going to invite you to turn to Psalm 86. And this psalm is the most quoted, or has psalms that have quotes about it in all of the psalms. The psalms are divided into 5 books. Not everybody realize that. So it's 5 hymnals for the Jewish people. And they were sacred songs that they sang, many, 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 many of them. And in the third book, they're divided in 50 each. In the third book of Psalms, This is the only psalm that's ascribed to David. And so there is some debate because of how many times it is quoted or is quoted in other psalms. Let me give you the statistics. I know they're boring. But it is quoted in 29 different verses in 20 different psalms. I mean, that's how popular this psalm is. Many look at David and look at his life, and they're thinking that there's two possibilities of when this was particularly written. Either during the time that he was running from the Philistines when Saul was chasing him and he was running for his life again, and this just becomes a psalm of praise and prayer. Or it could be when Absalom, his son, revolted against him, and life was just turned upside down. And he's chased out of Jerusalem, if you remember, and called names as he is being chased out of Jerusalem. And you know, and his heart just had to be breaking in that time. And so again, he calls out to the Lord, and God's Spirit reassures him, and he writes this beautiful psalm that you and I have an opportunity to look at. You know, I mentioned Joe and I, and there are many others I know that get saved a little later in life and learning how to build our life upon the rock and the love of Jesus Christ is challenging at times, and learning and really yielding to the Lord, to where, you know, where we understand that a lordship of Jesus Christ is something special, yeah? And it's something really wonderful to yield to him and watch him, you know, as we yield to him and give him our hearts and our lives and become that living sacrifice that he would ask us to be, and then watch him do things in us and through us that just blow our minds, and what he does and the wonder of it all. But that's God's plan. And so he yearns for personal relationship. Many, because we can't see God, I believe in Christianity, they think they can't have a personal relationship with him. It's hard because they can't see him. And who am I really talking to? And so prayer becomes even more difficult for them because there's nobody there. And we need to realize that God is always there. You know, once you and I trust Christ as Savior, he is in our lives. He's in our heart. We are indwelled by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and the wonder of that. We call him the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we are sealed by him. And so he is always present in our life. And to catch that and to realize that I have a Heavenly Father in heaven who truly loves me and allows me to walk hand in hand with him. And at times he carries me during the difficult times, and the wonders of the relationship that we can have with him. But God yearns for us to truly know him, to truly know him in all of his glory. And this beautiful, beautiful psalm reveals how you and I can do that. Pastor by the name of Pastor Van Gau, pastors up in the state of Washington, and he shares a little story of how he was running to the grocery store for staples, and he had a young family, and they had a game night planned as a family, and so one of those staples that he needed to buy was potato chips. Now, I'm not saying potato chips is a staple for every family, but for game night, I guess having potato chips is a good thing to have. And so he already had determined in his heart and mind the brand that he was going to get. And so he, as he walks down the aisle where the potato chips are, and you know, and if you remember grocery stores, there's about 28 to 30 different varieties and manufacturers of potato chips there, and they're all calling out to you, buy me, buy me, buy me. And he was realizing that, but he went directly to a potato chip that is produced in the state of Washington, and so it's very local, and it's called Mike Sells Potato Chips. Mike Sells is the name of the farmer that grows the potatoes, and they have their own potato chip factory right there. We lived in Erie, and there was a place there called Troyer Potato Chips, and that was named after the Troyer family. Unfortunately, Frito-Lay came in and bought them out, and so they lost their title, if you would, and the glory of being a family-owned business. But Mike sells, and he grabs a couple of bags, and he turns around, and guess who's there? Somebody from inside his church who delivers these chips to all the grocery stores for Mike sells. Hi, Dave. How are you today? David just goes, Pastor, thank you for your support. And walked on by with his cart, you know. But he began thinking about, what if I had bought Lay's? And I'm hugging Lay's in front of him and not. But you see, you and I have an identity in Christ. That's what I want to say. We are called Christians for a reason. It is called Christmas for a reason. And it is because he has provided for you and I this genuine, true relationship that he yearns for you and I to build in all that he is. And we can. And we can build it upon the firm foundation of his love, his life, his sacrifice, and the wonders of his living word that we have. And so as we jump into this, I want us to see first and foremost that we can build this life through prayer. Notice the first few verses of Psalm 86. He says, bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Oh, preserve my life, for I am wholly devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Save me. So he's running for his life. Some of your Bibles might say, for I am holy. And that is the only place in Scripture where those words are translated that way. Most of the time they are translated, wholly devoted to you. I'm completely yours, God, is what the psalmist is declaring. I am living for you. I am walking in your love. I am being faithful and pursuing you. And I am calling out for you. So we see that he hears us in our humility and our chaos of life. You and I, through prayer, calling out to God, wanting him to be a part of our lives. Notice what David goes on to say. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 3. He says, be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in those kind of situations where your heart is just so broken and it's just so crushed because of the circumstances of life, to where you do that, to where all day long you're just leaning upon him and calling upon him. God yearns for you and I to be in that kind of prayer even when life is good. Yeah, he yearns for our closeness in prayer. And I'm so glad that I had a good friend, a mentor for a moment in life called David Wigdon, who took me off to the side in his home, and he looked at me and he goes, Rich, I fear you don't know how to pray. And I'm sitting there, and he said it in front of my family, in front of his family, and I'm going, oh, great, thanks. But he went on to explain to me how to pray, because you obviously struggle in that, and I did, you know, because God isn't a solid person that I can see and talk to. And he knew that we lived in rural New York, and he says, do you ever go for walks? Sure. Well, go for a walk and talk to your Heavenly Father as he walks beside you. He goes, it might seem a little weird at first, but just get used to talking to him, pouring out your heart. He wants to hear it. You know, and part of me had already heard enough to where, well, no, he knows everything. And yes, he does know everything, but he wants to hear us, our heart as well. He wants us to pour out our life to him. And in every way. And so that wisdom that was given to me by David, and David went home to be with the Lord within months of that conversation, was to really realize that he hears me and he yearns to pour out that mercy into my life, into your life, because we do cry to him. Verse 4 goes on to say, rejoice the soul of your servant. Ah, lift me up, encourage me, meet my needs. And that is through the compassion and love of God that he does that. And he wants to build us up in a profound way. So rejoice the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good. You're ready to forgive. You're abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Ah, aren't you glad that he continues to forgive when we mess up? And he continues to pour out his great love into our lives. And then he goes on in verse 6, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. You know, he doesn't use the word might. You will answer me. You will hear me. You who forgives, the one who gives us. And so the thought is, in our prayer life, do we really pray with this kind of expectation? You will forgive me. You will hear me. Yeah, or do we sometimes get trapped into thinking, somehow I'm not worthy to be heard? Or somehow God's too busy about other important things to hear me. Or could we even go farther than that and say somehow God just plainly doesn't want to hear me. I'm not one of his prizes in life. You know, for me, that would be the David Jeremiahs, the Chip Ingrams, and all of those guys that have big radio shows and TV shows and still preach and teach the gospel, you know, and everything else. And, you know, he's not going to hear lowly, rich Bailey. No, he loves to hear us. He wants you and I. That is a genuine personal relationship. How many of you are married? All right, ladies, those of you who are married, keep your hands up, please, for just a second. How often do you hope that your husband would just hear you for a change? True? Yeah. Okay, my wife says that all the time. Will you listen? Yeah. God always listens to us. You know, we yearn for our children to hear us if we're blessed with children. We yearn for our neighbors to hear us. As a pastor, I yearn for all of you to hear God's voice in the middle of his word, to hear him. You know, somehow we think that it isn't there, but it is through prayer where God does that. Why do we pray before we start a service with the worship team? Because we want it to be all about him. We want the voice of God to be heard through song and through the message, and so that our time here is well spent. And that's a joyous time through prayer, calling out to him. You know, and I can only urge you, please find the time. Be intentional about setting aside the time to talk to him, pouring out your life, because he yearns to hear you and he yearns for your devotion and humility to come before him and his throne, and he yearns to meet your needs through his riches and glory. The second thing I'd like us to see is that he yearns for us to truly know him through his majesty. Look at verse 8. Notice how the psalmist, you know, after prayer, he goes on to really recognize the majesty of God. He goes, among the gods, there are none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, Lord, and shall glorify your name. Look at that. You know, so many have developed these idols and they chase after them. But the psalmist is saying, you alone are God. You alone occupy heaven and glory and the majesty of where you are. You alone sit, if you would, on the throne in all of your majesty. And in Revelation 4 and 5, we get glimpses of that glory. and the wonder of his majesty. And we know that all the nations will come and worship before him, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But he's declaring that majesty right now. Verse 10 says, "For you are great and you do wondrous things. Ah, you alone are God." Majestic wonders. I love looking at creation. You know, I've never been to Victoria Falls, you know. I doubt I'll ever get there. I've never been to some place even closer. I've never even been to, what's the big canyon west of us on the other side of the mountains? Oh, the Grand Canyon, that's right. Yeah, I've never been there, you know. I love to see it. My son talks about going out very, very early in the morning, and he was on the west side, and he sat down and he was praying and just watching the sun come up and the glorious sunrise over the canyon, and how it moved him to weep, because God does wonderful things and he has created so wondrously. He is full of majesty and glory. The heavens declare his glory. He is sovereign over everything. There is nothing that happens that he does not know about and allow. And his love is so great. He is good. And we need to see that. As we looked last week, you know, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Oh, the majesty in which he yearns to meet our needs through. And so that ought to give us hope in our expectation of prayer, to realize he is God. He is God of gods. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. And we are calling up to him in a wonderful way, that so through his majesty, through his power, through his goodness as our Heavenly Father. You know, Romans 8 is really true. You and I can call out Abba, Daddy. You know, you are our Father. You love us that wonderfully, because we have entered by faith into the sacrifice of his Son and the wonders of salvation, calling out to him, oh, through his great majesty. Thirdly, you and I, you know, he yearns for us to be truly known, truly know him in all of his glory through his word. Here's where it really gets very tender for me, because verse 11 is kind of my life verse. I try not to have a life verse, but verse 11 is one of those. For it says three profound things. He says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." What David is saying in this moment, in this heartache that I'm experiencing, I still yearn to know you and I am still teachable. He is humbled before him, and I want to know you so much in my mind, in my heart, in my soul. I yearn to do that, wanting to bring glory to your holy name. And it goes on to say that second thing, I will walk in your truth. You and I will never, ever learn what God's truth is apart from his word. Does that make sense? We can't do it. We can listen to all the great messages in the world, but yet the bottom line is you and I have to be committed to this book and allow the Spirit of God to teach us, because that's the reason why he's given us the Spirit of God, so that we can grow in an understanding of him through his word, and we can find all of those things that please him and all those things that bring him glory, and how to live, what to put off, what to put on in life, to be able to magnify him in our walk with God, to truly experience him in our walk with God through his beautiful word. Notice how it goes on where he says, I will walk in your truth. You know, that means I am committing my will to be your will. We were taught to pray that, not my will, but your will, O Lord. wanting it to be seen and evidence in our lives that we love God and we want to follow him. That's what it means to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is to passionately pursue him through his word and to live for him, to allow our wills to be his, wanting him to truly grow us. And then notice how this verse ends and goes on into the very next verse. He says, "Unite my heart to fear your name, and I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore." Literally, wanting his heart to reveal that he has a heart for God. Now, this was a long time ago in my life, but it was about 50 years ago. I sat down in my senior class in high school, and it was a large auditorium of about 200 students who were all having study hall at the same time. And I was kind of a renegade. And I had joined this school, and now this is way before computers and stuff like that, just 3 days before classes. And I realized that not every teacher had my name on their list. Now, I'm unsaved and I'm bad. I'm just telling you, guys, kids, don't do this. But what I do is walk into class, and if they get beyond the B's, and I look over on the class page, and my name wasn't written down, bye, I'm gone, and I'd walk, slip out the door. And I'm in this huge class, and he's reading, placing everybody alphabetically. I know they don't do that for stigma reasons anymore, but they did. And he flipped the page, and I noticed my name's not there. I've got another free period. Bye. And I began moving towards the door to go out. And one of my new friends goes, "Hey, Rich, where are you going? I thought you were in this class." And the teacher goes, "Who are you? Let me see your class schedule." And I go, cut. So he was already in the tea, so I sat down next to this gal by the name of Diane Travis. And it was a done deal. Yeah, and she became my wife. Yeah, God in his infinite wisdom and the wonder of who he is. Now, did I want to communicate with her, and did I want to express my love for her? Absolutely. God yearns for the same thing. Communication to share our love with him by following his word. You know, it starts with that thought, "Teach me your way, O Lord." Being teachable through the word of God, rather than looking at it, "Nah, that's too hard. I can't. My life can never change." You know, I bought that lie for a while in my own walk with God. I bought the lie like God didn't have the power to allow me to have victory in certain things in my life. And yet, once I learned that he wanted to give me victory in that, what a difference it made. What a joyous difference it made. I'm walking with him. It's through his word so that my life would radically change to bring glory to who he is. Verse 13 then is the exclamation point on this part. It says, "For great is your mercy towards me, for you delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, from the depths of the grave." You know, that is salvation, folks. That is to experience him as Savior. And I can only say, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, if that's new thinking for you, realize he yearned to save us. That's the reason why he went to the cross, so that we could have this dynamic relationship with him, just by calling out, "For by grace you are saved through faith." It is repentance and faith, trusting Christ as Savior alone, saying, "I can't make it to heaven on my own or through anything else. It is only through the blood of Christ. And Lord, forgive me my sins, and I trust Christ alone as my Savior." If we believe that in our heart, we're gloriously saved. Oh, and we become his children. and it becomes this beautiful adoption that takes place. Last but not least, we see this reality in verses 16 and 17. Oh, turn to me. Oh, verses 14. Excuse me, I jumped ahead. God, the proud have risen against me. A mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. Now, just those words, as we consider his mercy, David is now calling out for mercy. Now, so for me, when I read these, I believe he is running because of Absalom and because of Shimei, who curses him as he runs out of Jerusalem because they've been kicked out and everything that Absalom is doing. And so he is just saying, God, have mercy. They're not allowing God to be a part of their lives. They're not seeking godly decisions. And he is calling out for mercy for them in life, wanting them. You know, for us, we live in a time of retaliation and bitterness rather than realizing that God is a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and abundant mercy and truth. And he yearns for that to be revealed and experienced in our own lives, that full of compassion. You know, Fanny Crosby, how many of you recognize that name at all? A few of you do. She wrote poems, and she probably wrote well over 3,000 or 4,000 of them, and probably 1,000 of them were put to music, and they were called hymns and put in hymnals. Now, there was something special about her in that she was totally blind, and yet she had this personal relationship with God to where her heart and mind would overflow, and she would just write these beautiful sonnets, you know, and people would read them and put them to music, and we would sing them, and we'd sing them and sing them and sing them. And, you know, and I don't know if this is true, but in my mind's eye, could you imagine how her heart is just blossoming over now that she sees her Savior face to face and wanting to write new song after new song after new song and share it with her great God, you know, and Savior? You know, that is the way she was wired in life here, and to sing. And there's no doubt in my mind that she's singing new songs, and she's just worshiping God, and it is filled with joy. No matter how difficult life was for her, she pursued God. David is doing the same, even in the midst of this, where violence is around him and people want to not just kick him out of his kingdom, but to steal his throne from him. And he's calling out for God to do that. And this song was sung and is glorious. He wanted people to see God's long suffering and to realize how gracious he is and how compassionate he is in life. Verse 16 goes on to say, oh, turn to me, have mercy on me, give your strength to your servant, save the son of your maidservant, show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Rather than revenge, recognize his mercy. You and I have received it. If you and I are here and in Christ today, you and I have received the mercy of Christ. And we continue to receive it day in and day out. And the wonder of it. Yeah, I know, you know, some people get frustrated with new songs. You know, I love singing a new song. You know, I got saved, and I start going to church in my 30s, and every single song that popped up there was a new song. You know, it was all new to me. I had been locked into the rock music of my time, and that was all I knew and all these ears had ever heard. And so if it wasn't Iron Butterfly, it was a new song. You know, it was just different. And I'm sitting there going, and they're smiling singing this. It doesn't have anything to go. But I was learning new songs, and I began enjoying it. Why? Because I realized, I got to the point to where I realized I'm worshiping God. The first time I introduced Bill my life, I actually heard complaints. And here he is singing about the holiness of God, building his life upon him. And I'm wondering, why? It's a beautiful song. It declares the truth of who God is and how, if you and I are intentional in our life, these are sacred, sacred songs that yearn for us to walk by faith within who he is. And he yearns for you and I to have a personal, genuine, real relationship with him. And you and I are given the opportunity to do that. From prayer, the veil has been rent, folks. You and I can go into the Holy of Holies, and we can talk to God Almighty through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, and you and I have received the wonders of his majesty, and we get glimpses of seeing that throughout God's word, throughout his creation, throughout changed lives. And you and I can do it through his word and the wonders of his word. This is a living word of God that he yearns to allow to be that two-edged sword. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but he reveals all that he is and all he yearns for us in life. And he pours out his mercy. Day in, day out, moment by moment, because he is a personal God and Savior and Heavenly Father to you. Don't allow Christmas to be doldrums. Allow it to be a celebration. A celebration. The first song, you know, Francesca Battistelli sings it, and she goes, "You're here." She had this promise by an angel. Her husband had a promise by an angel, and this baby is now born. God took up residence in a womb, and it's like she's holding him, and like, this is all a mystery to me, but you're here. I have no idea what's going to happen. I do know you're supposed to die for the sins of the world or save the world from their sins. I don't know how that's going to be. Both Mary and Joseph were told the same truth, and it's a mystery to them, and she's holding that baby. Now, I don't know. That is an inspired song, but it's a truthful song. Her mind always marveled at these things. Always. What is my son, God's son, going to do? He brought about a personal relationship so that the law was gone, all gone. No animal sacrifices, real meeting with God. And he yearns to meet with you and me every day. Let's stand and close our time in prayer as the worship team comes to close our time. Father, I don't know where our hearts are here today. I know mine's a little heavy for a family back east, and a good friend went home to be with the Lord yesterday, and I just yearn that in your compassion and love and mercy, you would surround them with your love and give them comfort this day. You took home a precious soul, someone special in my own life, and yet I know that's not going to be the end of it. Because of your grace and mercy, I know one day I will again be with my friend Russell. And I rejoice in that hope. Lord, in the small audience, how I pray, there's not one here that doesn't know your son as Savior. Father, if there is one here who has never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day that they call out saying, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. And I trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. For others, if they just have a heavy heart for whatever reason, I pray they'd come home, come forward, just share, you know, just pray for me. Give me a strength to walk through these holidays. Oh, the wonders. But for all of us, how I pray that we celebrate Christmas because you did come for a purpose and you're still here through the power of your Spirit. Might we truly celebrate the personal relationship that we can have with Christ. For it's in your Son's name we pray.